and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess.
Hello, and welcome to episode 197, another imperfect episode, and one that is a little bit on the late side, at least when it comes to being posted. It was recorded, mostly in a timely fashion, but things have been a little weird around here, a little discombobulated. I am very sad to report that my mother-in-law, Melvine, passed away last week. So if you've had a death of a close relative, you know what that's like, and that it takes a little while. It knocks you out of your routine, and then it takes you a little while to get back into the routine. Melvine's memorial service is this Sunday in Charlotte, and we'll see what life is like after that. I'm sure there will be some readjustments still to come. But thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And let's see what I have to tell you. I want to keep this short. I have several quilt diaries documenting the progress I'm making on all my various birds in the air quilts. It is a little bit over 2 weeks, just a little bit, before I go to Atlanta for the 2016 Stars and Stitches Quilt Show, sponsored by the Chattahoochee Evening Stars Quilt Guild. And this will be on Saturday, September 24th. In the show notes, I have a link. So if you are in the greater Atlanta metro area, you could attend. And I think it's going to be fun. Pam, Hip to Be a Square Pam, will be there with Lynn from the Stitch Show. Pam is also from the Stitch Show. They will be recording an episode of the Stitch Show. The Stitch. I think it's just the Stitch. I think I'm adding a word there. Hey, good news. Apparently, we've got another Quilty podcast. I just learned about it this morning. I think it just got posted this morning. This is Vicky of My Creative Corner. That's her blog name. I think that may be the podcast name as well. I will post a link in the show notes. I've not listened, but someone has commented on Twilters that Vicky has a voice like a butter. So I'm really excited because Vicky is a Twilter and posts a lot of really interesting stuff. She's got a great blog. So I have every hope that her podcast will be as fabulous as she's already shown herself to be. And neat. We've been needing some new quilty voices. If you are thinking about podcasting, I wish you would. And you know, you can get in touch with me. You can get in touch with Lazy Daisy or Pam or any of the quilty podcasters, and we'll help. It's a pretty easy process. If I can do it in terms of getting set up, getting started, believe me, you can do it. What I want to tell you before we get going into the quilt diaries is that Birds in the Air, my novel, my first novel about quilting, it's not my first novel because I have been publishing children's books for a long time, but this is my first novel for grown-ups, and it is for quilters especially. It is available for pre-order. The official pub date is September 21st. The big launch is the 24th at the Quilt Show in Atlanta. But you can pre-order it right now. And there is a special on the Kindle edition. It's $2.99. The regular price for that is going to be $5.99 when the dust settles. So go ahead and order, pre-order, and you know, make my day. I just posted on Twilters, by the way. You hear us talk about Twilters. You want to be a Twilter? Easy. I mentioned later in the episode how to do that. Go on Facebook, friend Twilter Gates, say, I want to be a Twilter. It's a great group. Like yesterday, Kelly posted a link to a Joanne's coupon. At the very bottom of the coupon, said, get a free Craftsy class. And you know what? I did. I got the second Jackie Gehring walking foot class. I'm so excited because I haven't finished the first one. But, you know, it's like, I know I want the second one. I knew I wanted it, but I'm trying to be disciplined. But as soon as, like, free, oh, yeah, free, I'll get it right this very second. Love Jackie Gehring. Anyway, but that's just some Twilter love happening. And I feel like the group is small enough so you get to know the really active posters. And it's big enough that, you know, I go in and out of it. Sometimes I'm very Twilter active. Isn't that a cool word? Twilter active. Yeah, she's not radioactive, man. I'm Twilter active. You know, in other times, I've just got a lot going on, but someone's always there to pick up my slack. Someone else is going, you know, we all cycle around in social media. You know, Instagram, for instance. I don't do a ton on Instagram. you know, but sometimes I'm like really into Instagram and looking at Instagram and loving everyone's pictures and commenting, and other times just don't have the bandwidth. So we take up each other's slack. So become a Twilter, become part of this great online conversation, and listen to Vicky's podcast and all the other great quilty podcasts out there. So, and get your pre-order, Birds in the Air. Just go ahead. You know you want to. All right, enough sales talk, enough commercials. Let's go on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It is Sunday, August 28th, 2016. And I'm talking here, broadcasting here from Central North Carolina, where it is warmish. And I would say that it's actually hottish, but I don't really register heat, you know, not in any way that would express a kind of discomfort, a weariness, and absolute exhaustion with summer. I don't do that because I don't complain about the weather, but here it is. It's actually quite pretty on the outside. I'm in the inside with the air conditioning, and I am quilting my Meeting of the Geese quilt. And as I have mentioned in the past, I believe, I am quilting it in concentric circles. I had thought about the possibility of doing overlapping concentric circles. I have seen some quilts done that way. It's very pretty. But these are my first concentric circles. And I thought, let's just keep it simple. And in fact, with these Birds in the Air quilts, I kind of need to keep the quilting simple because I've got like a month before the book debuts, makes its big debut down in Atlanta, Georgia. I will post some information. In fact, I may even start posting information now on my blog post, on my blog, in the next blog post, in this episode's show notes. I think that's what I'm looking for. So that if you're in the area, come. I would love to see you. I would love to share these quilts with you live and in person, but I will also, of course, put them on the blog. I'm going to do a slideshow. And I have, let's see, all the quilts are finished except the Civil War era, Birds in the Air. I'm hand-piecing it. The top will definitely be finished, as I've said. Whether or not I finish quilting it remains to be seen. I'm not sweating about it at all. Maybe a little bit, but I'm trying not to. And I do want to redo the Bauhaus Birds in the Air. I don't think that will take an incredibly long time to do. And then I need to quilt everything, and I think the quilting in general will be fairly straightforward. And this concentric circle quilting is straightforward, except I'm not great at consistency, and this is actually what caused me to stop and get up and talk to you, because I think it's kind of important, because, you know, we look at other people's quilts, and I, for one, tend to be looking through eyes of love. You know, like when show and tell, someone gets up, and they show their quilt, and you go, oh, that's so pretty. Oh, I really love that quilting. And you're not going up and going, except, you know what? There's a little glitch in the quilting right there, you know? Or except there's some imperfections over there. You know, unless we're actual quilt judges, we don't tend to be that judgy. I suppose if you're at a show and you're looking at the prize-winning quilt, you might get up closer and really look at the quilting. In part, is to learn from it. It's like, and see what the quilter did to make their quilt fabulous. But otherwise, you know, I'm sure you do too. We tend to love quilts. We tend to not be looking for the imperfections in the quilts. And I have to remind myself that because I'm looking at my concentric circles and they're actually kind of hard to do. And I started out thinking that I would do it with a walking foot. I feel like at a Modern Quilt Guild meeting, a couple meetings ago, our fearless leader, Michelle, who's a fabulous quilt maker, showed us a quilt. And in fact, that's where I got the idea for the concentric circles for this, because it was a great quilt, a pretty large quilt, and that's what she had done, concentric circle quilting. And I loved it. And so when I was thinking, what can I do for the Meeting of the Geese? And it just seems like a really good design, quilting design for this, because it really brings in, you know, you've kind of got these two flocks of geese coming at each other, meeting together, and the idea of the circles kind of holding them together and also kind of gives a kind of motion and all of that. So I like that idea.
Now, I did not get up and look at Michelle's quilting up close and personal, but from where I was sitting, it looked great. And I seem to recall that she said she had used a walking foot. And so I started out doing that with this quilt, and right away, it just didn't work. And one, you're making circles, and I just thought, oh, you know, you just kind of go ch-ch-ch-ch and sort of shift the quilt and go ch-ch-ch-ch and shift the quilt, you know, so that you're going, you know, as you go around the turns, I guess, that's what the ch-ch-ch is, going around the turns. But one of the things that was happening is that I would stop and needle down, right? But then when I start again, there was just enough of a little jump in the needle that it was raggedy, a raggedy line. I don't want a raggedy lines, but that's what I was getting. And also I just felt like, wow, this is going to take forever. So I did one circle and then I did the next, and I was just using sort of the width of the walking foot as my guide, you know? So, and that meant there was about a half inch space between the lines, and that was the tighter quilting than I wanted. So I thought, this is not fun, and this isn't quite how I want to do it. So I decided to do free motion, and that turned out to be much easier. But I've had to mark the quilt because I don't have a guide now. And so I've been marking the space between each line is an inch and a half. I might go back, I don't know, and maybe in a few spaces put a line, let's say bisect, I don't think that's right. But anyway, make some other circles. I don't know how to describe this. So go in between the lines in some spots, like halfway, and so have some spaces in which these concentric circles are closer together. Does that make sense? I think you know what I'm saying. If you don't, just forgive me and move on. But I may very well not do that. But I am going to go back, particularly to the earlier, to the very center, because those are the worst circles, because they're just not good. You know, because, you know, I know we're supposed to practice quilting, our machine quilting every day. And Krista, I'm sorry, because I just know that that is what you do and that's what you would have me do. I'm talking to Krista Watson, who is the wonderful machine quilter and has all these great books, or actually has two great books about machine quilting that I've learned a lot from. And I know I'm supposed to be practicing, and I know you're not actually right now glaring at the computer going, Frances, why aren't you practicing? That's what I advise in my books. And I know that is true, that I should be. But I tend to practice on my quilts as I'm quilting them. These center circles really need reworking. But as I continued and got better and understood a little bit, because the needle jumps a little, it's a big quilt, it's a heavy quilt. And so then the needle jumps a little bit, but I've learned what to do to kind of keep it going in a straight line and not jump too much. But the fact is, as I look at my concentric circles, none of the lines are perfect. I will correct a few places that just feel to me egregiously imperfect, but other places, it's just going to be imperfect. And what I did that I think was actually a really sane thing to do is I went online, and if you put quilting concentric circles and you go into the images that Google brings up, you will see that hardly anyone actually does it perfectly. And that made me feel better. I saw other people I thought the quilting looked great. It was super cool looking, but if you look closely, I was seeing the quilting that looked exactly like mine, imperfect. There were certainly examples that were better, but nobody had just like, oh, look, this is absolutely perfect. Nobody did, you know? And so that, I was like, that's a really good thing to notice, to see. Also, again, I think the eye is forgiving. I think that our eyes are so attuned to pattern, and so our brains are so wired to seek pattern I think that there's actually some correctional activity that goes on when you're looking at something that essentially we don't see the glitches unless we're really looking for them. I feel like our brain kind of corrects a little bit. So again, I'm looking at these images online and going, oh yeah, I see the same kind of, it's hard. This is hard to do. I mean, the more you do it, it's got to get easier. And my guess is if you're using a long arm, you know, a computerized system, then yeah, you are going to get perfect circles. But if you're doing it on your own machine, you're not going to get perfect circles. And so, but I was glad I did that, because it's like, oh, okay, be a little easier on yourself. I'm not entering this quilt into a show. I want it to look good. I will correct some spots that I think look bad that I'm unhappy with. But in general, it's like, it's okay. And I think it is okay. And I'm not even sure. Here's my thing lately. Is I'm not even sure aiming for perfection is that great of an idea. I think aiming for a look that is aesthetically pleasing is important. And I think I don't want to discount getting good at what you do. I don't want to discount practice, even though I've not been a good machine quilting practicer. So I don't want to say, oh, just put any kind of crap out there. It doesn't matter. I don't feel that at all. But I also feel like we're not machines making. We use machines to make our quilts, most of us in most instances. But we're not machines. And so why should we strive to make our quilts look as though they were produced by machines? You know, so as long as, in general, when you are standing, you know, that old thing is like if it looks good, if you're riding past on horseback, you're okay. And that's how, so I'm standing now, like the quilt is on the table because I'm marking the last lines. I'm getting very close to being done with this. And it just kind of looks cool as I stand, standing back from it. And I was like, oh, that looks cool, you know? And so that's basically, it's aesthetically pleasing, right? And it, I will repair the parts that I find distracting because they're really not good. That's something I've been thinking a lot about. I've been thinking a lot about ambition and thinking about, you know, obviously this comes up if you have a kid who's applying to college and what should you be looking for. And I think this is something that a lot of people are thinking more and more about, you know, and my kids go to a private school, and it's not like a feeder school into Harvard or anything. There's usually one kid per class who goes to Harvard. It won't most likely be my kid because Jack is, I think, will apply early decision, as I've told you, I'm sure, to Davidson College, and I suspect he will get in. He has a very good chance of getting in. Maybe he won't, but I think he's got a good chance. And I think it's a good school for him in a lot of ways. But it's funny. Partly, I think it's one of Will's friends, and Will has just started eighth grade, is talking about how he wants to go to Princeton or Yale. And on the one hand, you're thinking, you're kind of programmed to respond, well, that's great. It's great to have those goals. But part of me is like, is it? Is it great? Maybe. And I know everything in the culture says, well, of course it is. Those are some of the finest schools in this country. Why wouldn't you want your kid to have as his or her ambition to go to Princeton or Yale? And part of me is like, yeah, why not? And part of me is like, I don't know, because then it makes your education about getting into Princeton or Yale. And what I really want my kids' educations to be about is not being stupid. Right, and that may sound like setting the bar low, but but it's really, that's what I mean. I've talked to Will, and Jack is more academic, and he enjoys school on all different levels. He really enjoys his friends there and the sort of social opportunities and being involved with stuff. But he is kind of, that's, you know, school is his sport, but he's a real thinker, so he enjoys learning. And reading and write. I don't know. I think he enjoys writing. And Will's not that kid. There's some classes that he really does enjoy. He enjoys a class with a good teacher. You know, he enjoys like the teacher who's funny and can really, you know, make the material relatable. That's a class that Will really enjoy. But I was talking to him about it. I was like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stuff that you don't enjoy, and you still need to study, and you need to do it so you won't be stupid. You know, and I actually think that, first of all, it makes life more interesting to look outside and look at the plants and to understand photosynthesis, to understand how these plants live and that whole process, because it's actually really cool and really interesting. But to know that, and know it's not magic, right? There's a whole system. And then partly, I think if you understand the systems of the natural world, it gives you a lot more respect. But also, you know, you're not walking around in some mist of unknowing. You know, and it makes the world richer. I just believe that it does. And more interesting, because the world is interesting. It's all interesting. But I think you should know history so that you won't be stupid. And so also you understand what is it about the United States that makes it different from other countries. Doesn't necessarily make it better. But makes it different. And our formation, you know, that's a really interesting story. I'm so happy about Hamilton. You know, I feel like Will knows so much more about how the United States was founded and what some really seminal ideas were about. So anyway, so that's what I kind of feel like. That's what I want my kids to get out of the schooling. Is this kind of, I want them, the world to be interesting to them. I want them to be interested in ideas. I want them to be interested in nature and people and psychology. That's why I'm not always sure that having a really ambitious goal, like getting into Princeton and Yale, where it becomes about your grades and not so much about learning, I'm not sure that's necessarily the best thing. Maybe for some kids it is. Maybe that's how they get fired up to learn, right? They have this big goal. But I'm just like, what if you just learn stuff not to be stupid? That's my big question. But, you know, I've always loved to learn. I haven't always done well in school. But when I got really interested in a subject, I got really interested in it. And I'm like, Will, when I had a really good teacher who somehow could catch my attention, I was totally into the class, you know? So anyway, I don't even know how I got there. How did I get there? I got there some way. But I guess thinking about perfectionism, thinking about ambition, thinking about, you know, as a writer, I'm working on a new middle grade novel, and it's kind of funky and different. And part of me is like, well, nobody else is writing this kind of novel. In some ways they are. It's a school story. It's not weird in terms of content, but it's kind of strange in the kind of approach, what I'm trying to get at, and the way I'm tackling this particular story. But it's just like, yeah, but you just got to write what you're going to write. You just got to write that story that you really want to write, whether or not it ends up tanking or being a bestseller or probably somewhere in between, you know. You got to write that story. You can't write another story, and you're not going to write this story perfectly, but you have to write it as well as you can write it. And I kind of feel like that maybe with quilting too, is like these quilts, I'm having such a good time with this Birds in the Air series, and the quilts aren't perfect, and they're far from perfect, and the quilting certainly will not be perfect because I do not practice enough, but these are the quilts I want to be making, and they interest me. And I'm getting great, you know, you guys have been really great and complimentary, and I really appreciate it, which is great, because it's fun when you're working on something that is fun to you, and you're having a good time, and other people are responding to it. But it can't be about perfectionism, and in some ways, if quilting is going to be about ambition for me, it's really the ambition to make quilts that really delight me to make. So those are my thoughts for the day, and I thought I would share them with you, but the sanest thing I did today was go online and find other pictures of concentric circle quilting and realize no one's doing it perfectly except maybe people with long arm machines that are computerized. But maybe even those aren't perfect. You long armers can tell me. I'd be interested to know. It's like, can you do concentric quilting on a long arm? Concentric circle quilting on a long arm? And will the circles be perfect? I don't know. But I know with the machine, it's almost impossible. And that's okay, because that's not what we're trying for. We're just trying not to be stupid. Okay, I'll talk to you more soon. Bye. Okay, now it's supposed to be quilt diary day 2 and 3.
Except I just listened to them and they're not very interesting. So now it is, so we'll call this quilt diary day 2, and it is September 8th. So I just recorded the introduction and then put it all together and started listening. And I thought, no, not very interesting to me at all. And if it's not interesting to me, I'm not sure that it's going to be all that interesting to you. So the things to tell you, just to round out this episode, I do want to thank everyone for commenting. There were a lot of comments because people were commenting to win the book So Illustrated by Kristen Esser and Minky Kim, and Katie in Mississippi was the big winner. I'm saying Mississippi, and I think that that's right. MS is the state abbreviation for Mississippi, right? Not Missouri. In any event, yay, Katie. So glad you won it. And she was someone who had commented that she really wanted to win, and then she did. And it's so nice when that happens. I got a lot of comments, not about the book, but about the quilting industry. And people had interesting things to say. I think a lot of people are trying to economize, make really good choices. Gretchen commented that there are fabric designers she likes a lot, but and whose fabric she buys, but it's because she likes their aesthetic. And that makes sense. In the same way, if there's a clothing shop you really like, I like J. Jill, I like that aesthetic. When I go to the mall, I don't go to every store looking for clothes. I go to J. Jill first and see if they've got what I want, and oftentimes they do. So that's got to be true with designers as well, that if there's someone, if Tula Pink is using the colors you like and the graphic design that you like, why wouldn't you follow her, get her fabric, etc. Makes perfect sense. For me, what is overwhelming is the idea of trying to keep up with all these new designers and all these new fabric lines. I can't do it. I feel like it's a relatively new phenomenon, like in the last 4 or 5 years, and maybe it correlates with the growth of the modern quilt guild and younger quilters coming in. And I think it also, obviously, I think there's a connection between quilt celebrities, right? Every quilting celebrity has a fabric line now. You know, so Mary Fonz, who I think of more as a writer and an educator, not necessarily a designer. I haven't seen her fabrics. I assume they're nice, but you know, it's like, but that's kind of part of it. If you, being a quilty person now, and if you've really got a talent for it, if you've really got something to offer, then fabulous. And I think what's going to happen now is that the designers that we really need, the writers that we really need, the pattern designers we really need, they'll stick around. Right. And the ones that are just more, you know, it's fun. It was big. It was, you know, but we'll fade. And that kind of happens in any industry. It's like quality survives, and we'll find what we need, and we will give our local dollars to local shops when that makes sense. I am probably going to have a hard time breaking my habit of buying my batting at Joann's and using my 40% coupon. That's going to be hard. Batting is really expensive. But I buy notions for the most part at Thimble Pleasures. And I've got my new quilt shop, new to me quilt shop in Cary. And, you know, I talked about this the other day. I think that I had planned to go out to Cary, the Cary Quilt Company, and buy some fabric, some solids from them. But I checked online before to make sure they had what I was looking for, and they didn't. So I went to Fat Quarter Shop, which I think is a great online quilting store. As you know, it's my favorite, and I feel okay ordering from them as well. We'll figure it all out, but I think as Vicky said, you know what? Quilters are going to keep quilting. No matter what's out there, we're going to figure it out. So I thank everyone for taking the time to comment on the blog. I thank everyone for commenting in their head. Thanks to Julie, who is typically a head commenter, who actually emailed. So I'm always happy to hear from people. And people do that from time to time, and it tickles me. People who are not frequent commenters, but they are commenting in their head. And every once in a while, they'll sit down and just send an email with all the things that they have to say. And I certainly appreciate it. So anyway,
I guess that is it for now. I have saved you from 40 minutes of not really interesting talk, so yay for me, yay for you. We're all big winners here. I'll be back in a couple weeks, I think right before I get going to the Big Quilt Show in Atlanta. I'm excited. I'm excited about all of it. I'm excited about life. Let's go live. All right, more soon.
Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first. Thanks for listening to the Off Kilter Quilt. Come visit me online at offkilterquilt.com. Until next time, this is Frances. Remember, life is short. Quilt first.